From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, space, the future, and sci-fi. Here's what's happening. A Virginia company is developing a radar gun-like device that would help police catch drivers as they send text messages. Now, this technology works by detecting the telltale radio frequencies that emit from a vehicle when someone inside is using a cell phone. Cable repairmen, for example, use similar means where there's a cable damaged from, let's say, a rodent, for instance, by looking for frequencies leaking into transmission. A text message, phone call, or data transfer emit different frequencies that can be distinguished by the device that ComSonics is working on. That's the company. That would prove particularly useful for law enforcement in states such as Virginia, where sending text messages behind the wheel is banned, but talking on the phone is legal for adult drivers. Here's an incredible story of statistics. The number of websites has burst above 1 billion, continues to grow. Let's check in with the expert on the internet, Lauren Weinstein. A billion websites, Lauren? That's amazing.
It's like Carl Sagan might have said, right? billions of websites, right? I mean, it's important to keep in mind. I mean, that's a big number, right? But there are some provisos on these statistics. One of them is these are estimates, right? But I mean, you know,
but that's close.
It's still going to be close enough for jazz, as we say, right? Another thing is, though, that these are really referring to host names, the way these are collected. These are unique host names, and they're not necessarily active, reachable sites. And, in fact, it turns out when you look at the statistics in more detail, 75% of those are not active. They're basically just host names that are parked somewhere. Now, having said all that, let's say there were just 250 million active websites.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a lot of websites. How many of those are worth visiting? Well, you know, that's going to be a different matter. But we know that in a year or 5 years or 10 years, the numbers we're going to have then are going to make the numbers we have now look very small by comparison. There's really no limit to where this is going to go, especially as other parts of the world, in developing countries now, in continents like Africa, where right now the internet has very little penetration. Imagine what's going to happen when they're brought up to speed on the internet and the kinds of services that will be, you know, available there.
How many websites on the internet, how many websites can it take care of?
There's no technical reason why there should be a limit. I mean, we've talked in the past, I think, about depletion of IP addresses and things like that. But as it turns out, most web services that people run websites on share those numbers. They go by the name instead of the numbers, so that's not really directly going to be an issue. Traffic, of course, is an issue. Net neutrality is a very important issue, because if you can't get to the website, then it doesn't matter that it's there. There's no hard limit. I think what we have to worry about more in not just the short term, but in the longer term too, is to have ways for people to determine which websites are legitimate, as opposed to the kinds of websites that are used to defraud people that sometimes masquerade, right, as legitimate websites.
Good point. That's right.
So it's not going to be the numbers that matter. It's going to be the quality that matters, like everything else in life, right?
You got it. Lauren, thanks so much. Now, although the economy is seemingly getting better, the Federal Reserve is probably not going to raise interest rates until sometime around the summer of 2015 at the earliest. The Fed said it continues to believe rates should remain low for a considerable time after its bond buying program is complete, which should happen following its next meeting. The U.S. House of Representatives approved President Barack Obama's plan to train and arm moderate Syrian rebels, but questions remain over whether it will give the advanced weapons they say they need to defeat Islamic State militants. The problem is, who do you know who you're giving the weapons to? Howard Bloom is with us. He's been looking at this question as well. Howard, they're all the same, aren't they?
That's the difficulty. There are 12 groups in a Syrian revolutionary front. They are all Islamist groups. They are all what we would consider to be extremist groups. And we've learned a lesson. We armed the Iraqi army. We gave them all kinds of weapons. We spent billions of dollars on it. Then they ran into their first opposition with the Islamic State, and they dropped their weapons and they ran. So in reality, who were we supplying the weapons to? We were supplying those weapons to the Islamic State. It is a serious mistake to supply any weapons to any of the Syrian opposition, and you know that Rand Paul, about 2 weeks ago, called for something that sounds very odd. He called for allying with Bashar Assad, with Iran, and those were his two basic suggestions. Now, that may sound crazy, but the fact is that one of the reasons that the Islamic State is very successful is that it offers good governance. What do I mean by that? Living under the Iraqi regime over the course of the last 10 years, you could not go to the market to buy bread. You would be sure there would be a very good chance that there would be a suicide bombing or a car bombing, and you would never come home alive. Jeez. Under the Islamic State, there is no risk of going to the marketplace whatsoever. Under the Iraqi regime that we helped put in place and the Iranians basically controlled, you had to pay off every soldier and every policeman you met. Under the Islamic State, you don't have to pay off anybody. And if you have a dispute with somebody under the Islamic State, you don't wait for years for it to go to the court system. You don't bankrupt yourself on lawyers. It goes to the court system that afternoon. It's resolved by the next day. Now, unfortunately, it's sometimes resolved by decapitation, stoning, and the loss of a hand or a leg. But compared to what Syria or what Iraq has been up against for the last 10 years, this is bliss. So we have to hold any territory whatsoever. We not only need boots on the ground in addition to our military strikes, and I don't mean our boots on the ground. I mean boots on the ground of some committed ally. We also need governance, that is, providing the kind of peace and stability and absence of corruption that the Islamic State is offering. There's only one person in the Middle East who can provide that in that territory, and his name is Bashar Assad. He has boots on the ground. He needs to gather back his territories in order to survive personally. He is motivated. So are his troops. And so I've called for an alliance of enemies. Once upon a time, Winston Churchill, who was trying to wooed the United States very successfully over to his side in World War II, he needed an even bigger ally. Who did he turn to? His biggest enemy, Russia.
Well, and he pulled that off. I'm not sure this is going to work this time, though, Howard.
Well, it's not going to work the way we're doing it right now, because in reality, this is the Super Bowl between Shiites and Sunnis. And Saudi Arabia, which we are an ally of, the Gulf states, who are roughly, are speaking, our allies, and Qatar, the countries we're talking about allying with. Guess who has supported the rise of the Islamic State? And every time the Islamic State, ISIS, wins a victory, there is cheering. There is silent cheering, mm-hmm. and all the way from Lebanon across to Saudi Arabia, because it's our side, it's the Sunni side, winning against the Shiites. So we need more than just our Sunni allies, because they are not going to put boats on the ground. They're not really going to commit anything but money. And in reality, ISIS is their puppet, their pawn.
Now, we've been bombing them for several days. Are we doing anything?
Yes. It was not publicized, but the Peshmerga, the Kurds, took back 7 Christian towns within the last 3 days. That is a major achievement. Right now, the Iraqi military, allegedly the Iraqi military, is going after Ramadi, Fallujah, and Haditha, 3 towns you heard about all the time in the days of our Iraq war. But there's a problem with going after those territories. The Shiites that we're supporting, or the forces, what we call the Iraqi forces, are really having their greatest success when they use Shiite militias. And those Shiite militias are controlled by Iran. For example, there was a 3-month siege of a Turkmen Shiite town. It looked like these people, all the men would be beheaded and the women would be taken as sex slaves. And at the last moment, the army supposedly of Iraq showed up, and with help from our airstrikes, it saved the day. But it wasn't really the Iraqi army that saved the day. It was Shiite militias controlled by Iran. So if Iran wins in Ramadi, Fallujah, and Haditha, which are heavily Sunni areas, That's that Super Bowl balance between the Shiites and the Sunnis shifted again. That's simply a Shiite victory over the Sunnis. It's not a victory for the people of Iraq.
Whatever happened to that holy man in Iraq? Sadr was his name.
He runs one of the major armies that is a proxy army for the Iranians. It was around 2008, I think, when the Iranians called him home because he's an Iranian puppet. He's an Iranian asset.
He's a Shiite.
And he's a Shiite. And they called him home to get him out of the picture so they could get the Mahdi army, the army that he controls, to lay down its weapons and give us, the Americans, the impression that democracy was flourishing, that the peace had been won, that we could declare victory and go home. And it worked. It worked. But he's apparently back, and more than that, the Mahdi army is back, because it's an Iranian army, and Iran has basically turned Iraq into a province of Iran, although my Iraqi friends say don't call it a province of Iran. They treat us worse than that. They treat us as if we're a shabby backyard where they throw their garbage. Well, that has come back to hit Iran in the face. It has provided very poor governance in this territory called Iraq that it controls as a proxy state. And because it's controlled, because it's offered very poor governance, that has opened the way for the Islamic State to come in and offer good governance, with the exception of some really grisly bloodletting.
Howard, always welcome your conversation. The Ebola outbreak could have a catastrophic impact on the economies of Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone. The organization says the economic impact of the virus could grow eightfold in already fragile states. However, it says the cost can be limited if the epidemic and the accompanying fear is contained by a fast global response. So far, Ebola in West Africa has killed 2,461 people, the largest ever outbreak. Artificial sweeteners, promoted as aids to weight loss and diabetes prevention, could actually hasten the development of glucose intolerance and metabolic disease. You know, we've been talking about that for years. Toronto Mayor Rob Ford has been diagnosed with a fairly aggressive rare cancer. The 45-year-old mayor has a malignant tumor in his stomach and will begin chemotherapy within hours. Well, there's a 5,000-year-old stone structure in the shape of the crescent moon in northern Israel. They've just discovered it. It is older than Stonehenge and the Great Pyramid of Giza. And a religious group wants to find out and hand out the Satanic Children's Big Book activities to counteract evangelical Christians in Central Florida. The Satanic Temple, which is a New York-based organization, said it has decided to supply religious pamphlets related to its tenets and philosophy to simply protest the dissemination of Bibles in the school district by Christians. What does that all mean? In a moment, we'll check in with Mark Dice on this on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, Mark Dice with us. He is an author, of course, several of his books, Illuminati in the Music Industry, The Illuminati, Facts and Fiction, Big Brother as well. He's an activist. He's a media analyst. He stirs up very controversial issues with his commentaries, and he enjoys digging into these incredible stories. Here he is back on Coast to Coast, Mark Dice. Lots of stories to talk with you about tonight, Mark. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, the Satanic Temple in the news again, as you mentioned. So I thought I appreciate you having me on to sort of expose this group. It's not really a group in the sense, it's essentially a kind of a hoax hoping to become a group headed up by, in my opinion, an anti-Christian bigot named Lucian Greaves, which is a pseudonym. His real name is Douglas Messner, who, as you probably have seen, has been making the news for about the last year or so, particularly starting with the Baphomet statue that they built that they're hoping to place on public property outside of the Capitol building in Oklahoma City. And their latest trolling operation is, of course, claiming to be ready to hand out these satanic books to the children. And it is extremely disturbing. Satanism will ultimately be the New World Order global religion when the royal secret is released. But as far as this, quote, group is concerned, it's really just one guy, one lonely guy with too much time on his hands, who I believe is just an anti-Christian bigot, with a hint of a PR genius to him, who seems to be a keyboard jockey trying to counter and really troll the mainstream media, who hasn't spent more than 30 seconds looking into his past, who he actually is, his real name again, Doug Messner. But it is quite disturbing, and we can talk about the difference between his supposed satanic philosophy and how it models the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey's group, and some of the hypocrisy from him. But it is extremely disturbing when you first see these reports, particularly people who aren't familiar with this satanic plan.
What does this group want to do, Mark? What are they really after?
You know, I think they're after attention, really. Doug Messner, again, who goes by the pseudonym Lucian Greaves, is just a guy, an anti-Christian bigot with too much time on his hands, and he has masqueraded as a group, which, again, just consists of a Facebook page, which has, at this point, about 10,000 followers, since he has gotten considerable amount of mainstream media attention.
Sure.
2,000 Twitter followers. But if you contrast that, I mean, the Kleenex account has 16,000 followers, and Bounty Paper Towel has 60,000 followers on social media. But in today's day and age, he's masquerading as a, quote, organization in order to build a fan base, to then get the attention that he so desperately seeks, and to attack the Christian religion and God itself. But what's particularly interesting about the Satanic Temple, I like to call them, it's an atheist group. And so the hypocrisy is astounding, because we have an atheist group masquerading as Satanists, claiming, well, we're just using Satan as a metaphor and a symbol. So, I mean, I call them an anti-Christian bigot group whose sole purpose seems just to be to try to defame Christianity. I mean, the public school system is already an atheist organization. And so this latest publicity stunt, really, is what it is, was sparked because a school district in Orange County, Florida, has decided to approve Christians to leave Bibles and religious material in common areas, not going to be teaching it into the schools, just to, you know, under the First Amendment, to leave the literature around. So this guy, Douglas Messner, Lucian Greaves, has come up with the idea to get some media attention, this sensationalist press release program that he has, to supposedly claim to want to release some satanic children's
sure.
materials. And again, he hasn't even contacted the school district. The school has never even heard of him. He hasn't submitted these materials. Again, this is just a publicity stunt. But it may become a self-fulfilling prophecy, because he is getting a bigger fan base. They were able to raise $30,000 to build their Baphomet statue, which they're still hoping to put on public property. But this man has been arrested for desecrating the grave of Fred Phelps, the founder of the Westboro Baptist Church, who was a despicable man, is a despicable organization. But Douglas Messner, Lucian Greaves, he exposed himself and took a picture of his private parts on the grave of Fred Phelps' mother. So this isn't something that a freedom of religion group would do. This is an anti-Christian bully, just an attention-seeking troll.
Sure. Is he trying, Mark, to tell the world, hey, look, if you're going to let Bibles in class, if you're going to let Bibles in the public eye, well, then let's let some of these satanic activity books out, too. Let's even the playing field.
Well, he claims that he is, you know, doing a form of satire to try to raise awareness about the atheist philosophies. But what's particularly disturbing is the hypocrisy of, you know, him personally, and along with other Satanists. We saw something similar to this back in the 60s with Anton LaVey, with his Satanic Bible and the, quote, Church of Satan, which was really just his house where him and his friends would hold parties. But he was using the same symbol of Satan as an atheistic counterculture symbol, and that's what we have the, quote, Satanic Temple doing today. But I think that there's many more legitimate ways to raise a separation of church and state argument, as opposed to picking the symbol of the arch enemy of Christianity, which is why I called him an anti-Christian bigot. We have plenty of, you know, somewhat respectable, legitimate atheist organizations that sometimes do present some legitimate arguments about perhaps some overarching blurring of the lines between church and state. But this quote, Satanic Temple. It's, you got to hand it to him. He's a very creative individual. I think with a little bit too much time on his hands, he wrote for the Skeptical Inquirer. He ran a blog called the Atheist Nexus, but now he's sort of found his attention-seeking niche, you know, under the disguise of a Satanist.
Mark, hold on. I want to talk with you a little bit about some of your work with Big Brother when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Mark Dice with us this hour as we talk about this incredible story in Florida where a satanic group wants to hand out activity books to counter Bibles being handed out and other literature like that. Mark Dice with us. We'll also talk a little bit about Big Brother and what's he up to. Welcome back, Mark Dice with us. Mark, we're going to have to get you back for more than just 1 hour, okay?
Anytime, George. Always good to join you.
Super. Now, the satanic group, and then I want to move into Big Brother. Do you believe they have the right to at least distribute these kinds of pamphlets and literature to counteract the Bible?
They actually do. But what's interesting about this particular group, again, is that they're not just Satanists. It's more of an anti-Christian stance and an atheist group who's chosen these symbolic terms. I mean, we have plenty of atheism. I mean, atheism is basically taught at the schools in science class. The word God's basically been banned from schools. We've had commencement speakers that have been told that they can't use the term God. I mainly have a problem with the overall stance of their whole method of publicity, particularly continuing the tradition of Anton LaVey, who you know, sort of founded modern Satanism, who, by the way, also claimed, as you probably know, to be an atheist, the same as this Doug Messner guy. But what's interesting is in the authorized biography of Anton LaVey, written by his widow, it actually tells a story about how he prayed to Satan for help in healing when his girlfriend's son was injured. So it's very interesting to see the hypocrisy of a man who built his entire career claiming to be an atheist, you know, denouncing and making fun of anybody who believed in God or the supernatural, yet he himself, particularly in a moment of weakness and in a moment of need, a poor child was injured, actually prayed and held a seance to Satan. Very interesting, coming from somebody who was a supposed atheist. And, you know, Anton LaVey himself was just really a dirtbag. I mean, he just loved wrapping himself in death. He loved mass murderers. He himself actually was a cannibal. He ate human flesh from a human leg that was biopsied in a medical procedure from one of his members, who then brought it to his house, and they cooked it up, and they ate it.
A little Hannibal Lecter, huh?
Yeah. So this isn't just a guy that's an atheist or doesn't want the, you know, Christianity shoved down his throat. The Anton LaVey, the Douglas Messner, Lucian Greaves, I mean, they really have an axe to grind with Christianity. And I don't know why he's got such a problem. I mean, we got us, you know, last few presidents have been Satanists, you know, and George W. Bush, Skull and Bones member, Obama, a member of the Illuminati. So he should be pretty happy these days. He's, you know, we got a couple of them in the high positions of power.
And the fact is, should these Bibles be allowed in the school system?
Well, they should be allowed. I don't think that they're being promoted by the school itself. It's a First Amendment right to allow the literature into the school. You get into the separation of church and state issues when the school itself is mandating that children read them or promoting them or, you know, perhaps putting even, you know, Christian messages and posters in the classroom. But they definitely have the right to have, you know, the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, some Hindu scripture. And even if they want the Satanic Bible in there, that is their right. And again, my stance is just this this really publicity-seeking, anti-Christian stance. Because if you want to be an atheist or promote Satanism, that's your freedom in this country. But it appears to be an axe to grind specifically against Christianity. I mean, have you noticed how the New World Order particularly seems to target Christianity? I mean, there's no problem with somebody being a Buddhist or a Kabbalist or a Hindu or anything like that, or Scientologist. But, man, those Christians have been targeted for termination. They seem to be the...
It's like the old days, Mark. Jeez, isn't it?
Well, they seem to be the last stitches holding together the fabric of the family and the traditions of the moral past. And this is why the Ten Commandments are sometimes in courthouses, because the basic rules that we have today are inspired from those Ten Commandments about not killing people, not murdering people, not stealing, not lying to people, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a historical, cultural aspect to the Ten Commandments as well. But I think an atheist group choosing the arch enemy of Christianity to be their logo is quite anti-Christian bigotry. I mean, just imagine if a group were to masquerade as Nazis, having a stance against Israel's foreign policy. They would be denounced by every major media outlet. They would lose their jobs, probably even lose their children to CPS. But in America, you've been studying the New World Order for probably decades. The universal one world religion ultimately will be Satanism. And so this little peon who was trying to masquerade and build his group is just one cog in the overall machine, which one day when the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, is unveiled, this Illuminati Messiah, Luciferianism, Satanism, will be the global religion. It's going to be the unveiling, the externalization of the hierarchy. All of this is in my book, The Illuminati Facts and Fiction, and it's going to be the final secret revealed, the secret of success. And I mean, we've seen the Illuminati go into pop culture and a lot of celebrities posing as Illuminati, and the general public now, instead of despising the Illuminati like much of your audience has for decades, seeing them as the puppet masters behind the New World Order, destroying this country, our freedoms, the economy, the general dumbed-down public now think the Illuminati's cool and really want to be a part of it, and that's part of this satanic program
sure.
as well.
And they think the Illuminati's going to save them.
The Illuminati makes you rich and famous like Jay-Z and Beyonce. I'll do anything to be a part of that.
Let's take some calls. David is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. David, go ahead. You're on with Mark Dice.
Hey, George. Hey, Mark. How y'all doing, man?
Good.
Good.
I don't mean to accuse. I just want to clarify some rumors. Maybe you can call it conspiracies within conspiracies. But could you clarify the rumors about you taking down your Alex Jones bashing videos on YouTube prior to him letting you on his show?
Well, I'm a media critic, of course. I've criticized, virtually everybody in the 9/11 truth movement. As a, conspiracy analyst, it's incredible, George, you probably get this too. There's countless conspiracies about you.
All the time.
I work for David Rockefeller, man. I am working with the CIA to keep people from learning the truth about the, Alex Jones and I being secret Jesuit brothers. It's entertaining, but it's really sad. And, a lot of people who think that they know the truth about the Illuminati and the New World Order get so wrapped up and so lost when they go down the rabbit hole. It's just incredible.
Alex is one heck of a trooper. He's out there. He's got his neck out in the noose.
And I have a lot of respect for Alex. I don't agree with everything that everybody says, but a lot of people in the resistance New World Order movement have this black and white mode of thinking where as soon as somebody says something that you disagree with, automatically it's not that you disagree with them. You must be working for them. You're a shill. You're working with the Illuminati reptilian Jesuit Zionists behind the scenes. It's just incredible.
I spent 9 years with the Navy, public information officer. When I first started doing Coast to Coast, Mark, people would say, some people, he's with the CIA. He's an intelligence officer. I mean, none of that could be any farther from the truth.
Yeah, I made a funny YouTube video, youtube.com/MarkDice, making fun of the Mark Dice works with David Rockefeller, and some people even thought that was a secret admission of the truth. And there's unfortunately, sometimes this world of the Illuminati and the New World Order, it's so fragmented and it's on the edge of insanity for some people, and they just can't wrap their mind around it, and they just get lost, and they don't know what to believe, and everybody's a conspirator, and you're not going to agree with everything that anybody says. So I go by the 80-20 rule. I agree with a lot of people, what this say, but a couple issues on certain people with Alex Jones, with others I disagree on, but I don't like to make a big deal out of it.
What is your take, Mark, on the criticism from people that everything that happens is a false flag?
You know, it's amazing. I through satire and humor, I make these YouTube videos ridiculing these people and trying to, through humor and tough love, show them why this isn't true. It's very sad, and I don't know if it's just a bunch of teenagers who aren't you know, fully intellectually developed, or if there's just, through the internet, if anybody that has just a paranoid fear can promote their idea. And I think people like the fear. They come addicted to the adrenaline fear because, you know, last 5 or 6 Super Bowls, you see these YouTube videos that get tens of thousands of views. Is there a false flag planned at the Super Bowl this year? And they look to these, quote, clues and cartoons and the Illuminati card game and the movies. And, you know, every year for the last probably 5 years, I've ridiculed them and I make fun of them and show why they're wrong. And it's like these Chicken Littles don't really get it. And it's sad because they've muddied the water so much that some people new to this start getting paranoid. And I'm very blessed to have, you know, kind of a stamp of approval from some of the you know, the elders in this genre. You, Alex Jones, Jim Mars, Tex Mars, you know, they've all given endorsements for my work, and I've interviewed them or they've interviewed me. And, you know, none of these people are screaming, you know, there was a clue in The Simpsons for a false flag. But it's very sad, and it's incredible that the same issue with the celebrity deaths. Have you been following the supposed Illuminati sacrifices of these celebrities?
Exactly. You know, when I first had you on in 2011, with me, I got hundreds of emails praising you afterward. People are into this, Mark.
Well, and I've spent 10 years studying this, and, you know, I have almost probably over 600 books in my library, and I mean, I read and I fact check and I reread and highlight and cross-reference because I want the facts, I want the truth. That's why I wrote the Illuminati facts and fiction. But so many people, especially in today's YouTube age, when their entire self-worth is the amount of hits that they get on their video, people sort of shoot first and ask questions later, or they just put out the most insane conspiracy, and it's astounding. People believe it, and I think it's sad because people don't really want the truth. They want to be, many people, maybe a third, you know, of some of my audience on YouTube, just want to be entertained. And when I do these debunking videos, people hate them. I mean, they thumb them down. You can read the comments. You're a CIA. I knew it. They bought you off. They got to you. And it's incredible. And, you know, Joan Rivers, 81 years old, happens to die in first inning. It's an Illuminati sacrifice because she exposed Obama's gay and Michelle Obama's transgendered. And, you know, well, she made a joke. It's a funny joke. It's a edgy, you know, but they just equate this. There's no evidence. They just it's automatically, and especially it's not just once in a while, George, as you know, it's every single celebrity,
sure,
no matter what, drug overdose, cardiac arrest, car accident, the case of Paul Walker. I mean, it's very sad is what it is.
And what's so bizarre, Mark, is under all of it, there might be a shred of it that could be true, but you got to find it.
Well, like the car hacking incidents, you know, people accuse Paul Walker, the actor, of being murdered through car hacking. So, it's a grain of truth because car hacking is a very real thing. Michael Hastings, the award-winning Rolling Stone reporter.
God rest his soul.
He very well may have been murdered from car hacking. And then after the conspiracy community started covering that, Car and Driver magazine did an article, Forbes magazine, Fox News, none of which mentioned the name Michael Hastings, of course, because they don't want to be considered conspiracy theories. But there are many good people that do work in these news organizations who are genuinely concerned about this country. And so they try to get the information out that they can. But unfortunately, through social media, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, somebody like yourself who's a professional and, you know, just decades of knowledge base, that's what it takes to get a syndicated show on, you know, 600 stations because you can't just be some nobody that's talking out of your rear. But on YouTube, people can just put out the most insane things and with the certain keywords, and people just go, they eat it up, and they like their conspiracy entertainment, and it's really muddying the water for real researchers and the real truth of issues like the CIA assassination tools, like the frozen poison gun, you know, real false flag attacks, confirmed, declassified, false flag attacks, real actual CIA media control through Operation Mockingbird, et cetera. So we just got to keep on putting out our information and just kind of, you know, hope that people can sift through it. But it's a full-time job to sift through all the garbage to get to that core of truth.
Let's go to Harry in Port Huron, Michigan now, east of the Rockies. Harry, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Mark, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Two things. Number one, I am a Christian, but I don't have a problem if a Satanist wants to have his materials in the schools. It's amazing what we do when we say, we want our Bibles there, but you can't have your stuff there, and that kind of stuff. I feel sorry for unbelievers. I look at them because I was one, and I understand how they feel. And we force their stuff down their throat. We want them to believe what we believe, and when they want to put their stuff out there, we don't want that. And all I can say is this is not the United States of Jesus. This is the United States of America. We're a pluralistic nation. And, you know, we put down the radicals, and we should, for their Islamic Sharia law, but yet we want to shove our stuff down their throats. And I just, there's a real problem there. And for also your comments, Mark, or what you said, or and other people about the, you mentioned a couple minutes ago about the comments about Michelle Obama and Barack Obama, transgendered, gay, or whatever. I take that's ridiculous for you to even go over there. And you can say it's funny, but that's just ridiculous to say such a thing.
Well, no. He was quoting Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers making an obviously edgy joke. I mean, I wasn't saying that was the case by any means. I was taking that's the justification that the conspiracy people are using for the supposed murder of Joan Rivers.
And you know, Mark, as a parent, I want to be the one to decide what my kids get in school. So, you know, if they're going to get the Bible or if they're going to get some satanic literature, I don't want the school giving it to them. I want to be able to approve that.
Yeah, that's why I support, you know, the caller made some very good points. And I mean, we do have separation of church and state for a reason. And the parent's job, that includes the parent's job. And unfortunately, the school in other aspects of life of sort of trying to replace that and indoctrinate the children with other things. But it's an interesting point of debate that this, quote, satanic temple has made. And I just wanted to make the point that it's not really a group, and it's an atheist group, and it's kind of a trolling operation. And you know, some of the hypocrisy and the disgusting behavior of this individual behind the campaign.
I'll tell you, Satan is doing high fives right now, though, isn't he?
It's incredible. We're racing towards the New World Order. It's rapidly approaching, and people, shows like yours, the other New World Order, you know, kind of old school founding father researchers like Jim Mars, Anthony Hilder, have been warning about these very things, and here they are coming right down.
Jordan Maxwell, same thing.
Yeah,
Mark
Alex Jones.
Give out your website if you would, and your works are still available, are they not?
Yeah, my books, they're not in stores, but you can get them in paperback on Amazon.com, or you can download any of them onto most of your e-readers from iBooks, Kindle, Nook, or the Google Play Store. Check me out on YouTube, my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MarkDice. There's a lot of media analysts there. A lot of my previous Man on the Street videos are up there as well. Subscribe to the channel, markdice.com, you know, the typical Facebook, YouTube. But Amazon.com is the best place you want to get my books. And, you know, a book, as you know, is a lot more work goes into a book than just off the top of your head.
Oh, my gosh.
It's an incredibly complex and lengthy process. So, you know, you won't be disappointed if you pick up one of my books.
Mark, let's talk with you further a couple hours maybe next time, okay?
You got it. Got a new project coming out soon, so we'll keep in touch, George. I appreciate you having me.
Mark Dice, up next, we're going to talk about space, the future, and a little science fiction next.